It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here, as always, live and in color, for those of you with color radios. And we'll be here for the next hour, as we hope you all will be. So welcome back to all the regulars. We would not be here without you. But if you're new to the show, either because someone told you or you just happened by, try to stick it out for an hour, and we promise you, you'll always have a takeaway from whatever show we do. It'll either be things that we say and want said, or it'll be things that you ask by picking up the phone and dialing 904-222-8255, 222-TALK. Callers always go directly to the head of the line, and we talk about what you want to talk about. So want to be part of the show, got any questions, observations, complaints, or, well, if they're complaints, call somebody else.
No, you can complain. We might not listen.
Well, that's true. You just never know. But anyway, as I said, you will probably find something entertaining and hopefully educational, as they say, around my house once in a while. And we'll see. Anyway, gosh, what a week.
Yeah.
Barely anything happened.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Maybe one event.
But the way the market acted, barely anything did happen.
Well, it was an interesting week. I the beginning of the week, everything was up. End of the week, a little bit of a breather, but it was overall a really strong week.
Yeah.
Interesting week, too, because a couple of things that had appeared to have gone away were back on this week. And what I'm mainly talking about was the big tech trade.
Mm-hmm.
That had taken a few weeks off, but not this week. Investors piled into NASDAQ stocks, and you'll see it in the results as the NASDAQ rose 4.2%, separating from the other two main indexes by a pretty wide margin. And that's sort of reminiscent of all last year, but not of the last month. So a little bit different kind of trading this week. There was some concern initially that Democrats would crack down on big tech now that they control all three branches of government, but that concern seems to have been put to the side. I never bought that, and you can probably tell by the laughing that neither did
you. Who funded them, who has always funded them, and who will continue to fund them.
I believe we said that a few weeks ago.
I believe we did.
So, for what it's worth, I don't think that will ever happen as much as politicians in general love to complain about big tech companies. They actually really love them. So go figure.
Yeah. And the other half of that coin, if you're an investor and you're holding tech or looking to get in it, is that they're really good at what they do.
They are almost too good in many cases.
Yeah.
So
what they really do is make money, and they're really good at that.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. All three indexes were positive for the week. The Dow was only up 0.6%, though, and the S&P was up 1.9%. So a solid week, but
still set records.
Yeah, a disparity, though, between the tech and the rest of the pack.
It goes back to what we so often talk about. When you're measuring things by the Dow, you only have 30 chances to get it right. So
that's
if somebody hiccups in the Dow, it's not going to react like the rest of them.
Especially if they have a high stock price, because
exactly.
It's that stupid price-weighted index.
Yep.
Yeah, so anyways, I don't really look at the Dow very much. It's just historically it's been the measure, so we talk about it. But if I'm looking at the market, I look at the S&P and the NASDAQ.
Mm-hmm.
So all three are up for the year. And after the stellar performance of last year, many of you are probably wondering if that performance can continue into 2021. And if you want an answer from me, my answer is I think it can.
Well, if you ask the correct question, and you did, you said, can it? Yes,
right.
It can.
No, I'm not guaranteeing
I'm not going
to
answer that.
Right. But I want to talk, instead of my normal market wrap, I want to talk a little bit about why I think that, because I think that's really the question on everybody's mind right now is we had a great year, a lot of change in the beginning of this year. Can we continue this going forward?
A lot of problems remaining.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems, but there's also a lot of tailwinds as well. So it's pretty easy to make a compelling case on either side of this argument right now. In fact, I really didn't have to think very hard to come up with what my talking points would be if I was arguing against it or for it. So let's start with against it. You could say that stocks are overvalued right now at 31 times trailing earnings, and there are signs of bubble-like trading in IPOs and SPACs. That's a new concept that's really – so these special what are they? I can't remember the acronym.
Can't remember the exact
it's
one a, either.
It's basically
they buy and sell businesses.
They buy and sell businesses. And right now, whenever one of these companies has made a deal, they've been money just piles in. They're up on average, I think, about 125% every time they've announced a deal. So
on activity. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, Adam and Steve. I never thought I'd be calling you where our country is under a state of censorship and fascism.
Yeah, we hoped you never would.
Yeah, we did, but here we are.
Yep. It's a shame.
Luckily, we're still broadcasting for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God. I think I was thinking about what's one of the solutions to get our country back on an equilibrium. And if you look at what Maine and Nebraska do, where they segregate their delegates by district, if we had more of that going on, particularly in the swing states, if these Republican state legislatures get on the ball and start to divvy up the legislators, like particularly in Pennsylvania, then it wouldn't matter if they cheated in Philadelphia and Atlanta, because it wouldn't be winner-take-all. And they wouldn't steal the elections, and that would put us on a more even playing field.
Yeah, well, those state legislatures are responsible for all this, and I hope along the next 2 years or to 4 years that they figure that out and do something. Meanwhile, we're faced with living with it and trying to figure out how to make money.
That's correct.
And that the one thing you can't do and be successful as an investor is cry yourself to sleep every night. You have to look at it objectively. Here's what it is. Now, how do we make money? You know, imagine yourself the CEO of a large empire. What is the CEO's job? Take care of my shareholders by maximizing value and earnings. Well, you're the CEO of your own empire, called your own personal economy. You have to figure out how to do it. And I think that's where the innovative juices start to flow among investors. And there is always a way, because money is being spent. And whenever money's being spent, money's being made and lost. You got to figure out how to stand in the right breeze and see if it hits you. And that's our job here on the radio, and our day jobs during the week, is to convince people that there are ways to be successful given any set of circumstances that we can see in the foreseeable future. So that's what we're up to. I hope you're feeling the same.
The majority of my working day, I talk to seniors between 60 and 90 that have one track minds, which is they only think their money can go into bank CDs.
Yep. And that's no way to approach investing right now, because there's no interest rate.
They're crying. Yeah.
It's a sad thing. Adam and I spend a lot of time, particularly him, trying to develop strategies that will replace the CD in the next 2 or 3 years, while the Fed has said they're pricing only one increase in that time. And we'll talk more and more about that as we get into it. But it's a very difficult thing, and the bottom line on it is the older you are, the more excess risk you are forced to hold in order to make any money. That's a problem that we're trying very hard to solve. Anyway, music's playing. I got to run. Good to hear from you. Perk up a little bit, and we'll see what happens, okay? Take care. All right, we'll be right back. We're going to pay some bills and get back into the topics of the day. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question brought to you, as always, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. There are now, as of this week, 7 living ex-presidents. Which one of them presided over the largest percentage increase in manufacturing employment? You already have a range, because there's only 7 possible answers. So which one presided over the largest percentage increase in manufacturing? All right, back to the market at hand and all of its little idiosyncrasies and possibilities and such.
We were talking about
a break about one of the weird ones.
We're talking about SPACs, actually. The acronym, which I tried to memorize this morning and then promptly forgot when I got in the car, is a special purpose acquisition company. I've never seen these things until this year.
I haven't either.
Or last year, really. But they are hot. Everyone wants them.
Public and private companies that they acquire.
Right. And so it's the recent trend, and they've been really hot, much like IPOs have been really hot. Every time one happens, they get run up. That's not really healthy trading in a lot of people's opinion. So that's another negative for this market. The jobs data has been getting worse instead of better recently, and COVID obviously still lurking out there, killing record numbers of Americans every day. So with all of that, you could make a pretty compelling case that the market is overvalued, should come down. There should be a correction, a pullback, whatever you want to call it. But it's just as easy on the other side to make a pretty good case. So first off, the momentum is all positive. Obviously, every week it seems like we're talking about the market going up somewhere between 1% and 4%. The investors are clearly in a buying mood, and as the old saying goes, don't fight the tape. Even more important is the old saying, don't fight the Fed, because the Fed is absolutely committed to keeping interest rates low and propping up the market.
Their balance sheet is expected to grow to $6 trillion by the end of this year.
And it doesn't even matter what that means. If you don't know, don't worry about it. It's good for the stock market.
But think about this. That's four times more than at the beginning of fiscal year 2020. That means, very simply, money they've thrown at the markets.
Right.
That's all it means.
Yep. And they're not going to stop doing that anytime soon, according to the chairman. So
where do they get the money?
Who knows? Who cares?
They make it up.
Yeah. It's just there.
Yeah. They just make it up, and they're going to keep making it up until something has to change. I couldn't begin to tell you when that is.
So another thing in this category to watch is earnings. You might think that would be in the negative, but you would be wrong. Earnings have actually been really, really strong. Earnings season just started this time, but of the 15 largest companies that have reported so far, only one has missed their earnings estimates. And you might find this a little bit surprising. It was actually Netflix. And guess what happened?
They got punished.
The stock rallied 17%.
Yeah. Because
subscriber growth was incredibly strong. Yeah. So
200 million accounts.
Right.
And the market took that as much more important than the fact that they didn't make as much money as they said they were going to.
Right. So that they have a subscription model, as everybody knows, and the acquisition price is going to be a certain level. But you only acquire a customer once. They pay you every month. So yeah, it's much more important for them to acquire customers than it is to be profitable doing so, because profit comes later.
What's the difference between that theory and 1999. Back in 1999, we counted hits or new customers, as you would look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't pay you anything. It was all free.
No, but you can't sign up for Netflix without giving a credit card.
That's correct.
Number. So, and
I told you last week, these companies got really smart.
Yep. And subscription models are very, very sticky, because especially when they're under about $20, because no one, mm-hmm. even if you don't use it, you're so unlikely to go cancel it because it's a pain or whatever. It's only $15. Who cares?
The day I cancel it, there'll be some one thing that somebody said you got to see like that.
So
guilty.
They have an excellent business model, and it's a good company. So they missed earnings, but nobody cared.
Yep.
Another positive for stocks right now is that they're kind of the only game in town. Bond yields are so low that it's hard to make a compelling case to even buy bonds right now.
As we were saying to Chuck, that goes for bonds, CDs, any kind of what would traditionally fall into the fixed income categories.
Now, please don't confuse that with me saying there's not a reason to own bonds. There is a reason to have bonds in your portfolio, and there probably always will be. It's just that the upside potential at the moment doesn't seem very high for bonds. So if you're looking for growth, it's tough to make a case for bonds.
Yeah, it's a numbers game out there.
Consumers are sitting on a bunch of cash. That's another one. So they're about to get another infusion of cash from the government. So probably to the tune of $1,400 a piece, maybe $2,000. We'll see what happens. But
maybe
$10,000. Who knows?
The camel's nose is under the tent on universal basic income, in case you're not paying attention.
And I don't expect to see that, but definitely a one-time payment is coming. I mean, I would put that at about close to 100%.
That's a slam dunk. Yeah. The repetitive payments take a little longer.
I don't think it'll happen anytime soon, but we'll see what happens.
Well, they'll try it in New York if they elect Andrew Yang and see how that goes, right?
Yeah, which I actually like Andrew Yang. He's an interesting guy. Yeah.
And I'd love to see the experiment in New York.
Yeah, I think it'd be a really good experiment. I don't agree with it. I think it'll blow up in their face, but that's just my guess. I would like to see that proven on a somewhat large scale.
Yeah, you know, the people have tried it. Stockton, California, a couple others.
There was a Michigan town that did it, I believe.
I think so, too. And I think there was one in New Mexico or Arizona. And they've all failed.
Well, there's been some positive that has come out of it, but there's also been some pretty severe negative. So I don't think that there's a definitive answer on whether or not it works.
Well, one of the reasons people look at that and they say, well, it's not fair because people who don't need it are getting it too.
Right, but is it fair to only give it to people who don't want to work?
That's like saying that you shouldn't get Social Security. No, they give you Social Security no matter how much you make. They just tax a bunch of it away.
Right. I think if you do it, you have to make it universal. Yeah. Well, the first word of universal basic income is universal. So that would tend to, I think that people would agree
probably
with
not.
Right? No, probably not. So despite unemployment being very high, manufacturing is booming right now. The sector that is hurting is services. So that's where all the lost jobs are. Manufacturing is going just gangbusters right now. The December ISM manufacturing report was one of the highest levels that we've seen in 20 years. So,
well, if you're listening to Howard and Angela before us, they had a trivia question out there. How many single-family homes were completed last year? The answer was 1.29 million of them.
Yep.
What goes into single-family homes?
A lot of manufactured products.
Yep. From sticks of wood to
sinks,
big appliances and plumbing and copper wire and garage door openers and concrete, you name it. So all those things are booming.
And that's a pretty good segue into my last thing, which was housing. And the housing market is just absolutely on fire across the country right now. Sales are at the highest level since 2008.
See what the median price went up to?
I did not. I know that it's up.
309.
Wow.
It was up 12.9%.
The median
house now is over 300,000, first time.
Starts and permits are higher than they were pre-pandemic. Yep. And yeah, so when you combine all of that and the vaccine rollout, I think you can make a pretty good case for the market going up.
No kidding. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Happy belated New Year.
Well, thank you. Same to you.
Okay.
What's happening today?
What's happening? Well, I'm just starting today, and I like to start it with an excellent financial show, the Van Wee Brothers.
Well, you're very kind, especially that last word.
I'll take could you repeat the trivia question?
Of the seven living ex-presidents, which one presided over the largest increase in manufacturing employment?
Manufacturing employment.
Percentage increase.
So that's as opposed to exports. And
correct.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with George Bush, George W. Bush.
Well, there are six more choices, and we're going to need some of them, apparently. Actually, okay. George W. Bush, you ready for this one?
Yes.
Ranks dead last.
Really?
I'm not making this up. But remember, it's percentages, too, so it kind of depends when you came to town.
It depends what you inherited.
There are coincidences embedded in the statistics, but that's the truth.
I see. So it was percentages. So in other words, as far as manufactured goods, wasn't there quite a lot under
there were,
the Bush
heck of a lot.
Regime?
Yes, because once the original tax cuts took hold, things were booming for quite some time. But remember, he lived through some really bad stuff, too, that had to be, well, 9/11 I'm talking about, that you had to recover from that before you could move forward. So that's why I say there are some little anomalies in those numbers that one has to account for. But that makes the question more interesting.
Very interesting.
Yep.
All right. Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
You got that right. We appreciate the call. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So we've ruled out one. It was not W. That is as much a surprise as anything in the question. I believe that he would rank so low. But like I said, you got to factor in things like 9/11. Is that what that did to the economy? We lost like 1.1 million jobs that day.
Right. So, and prior to the pandemic, that was a big number.
That was a really big number. So Yeah, you can't overthink it. You're probably better to guess on this one.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But anyway, we are going to have to take another break. I don't control these things. And Larry's on the line. We'll get him. But, Larry, I've only got a few seconds left with the music going. So if it's okay with you, just hang on through the break. And we will get to you right on the other side. After that, we've got some other little interesting things, tax dates that are important, that sort of thing, whatever we can get to after the break. So don't go anywhere. We'll pay some bills. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have Larry on the line, who's been kind enough to hold through, so let's not waste any time.
I underthunk this, and I heard the Popeye imitation.
The Popeye?
Popeye. that Steve did. That's off the subject real quick, and I'm taking a chance. I'm just going to say it straight up, Donald J. Trump.
Donald J. Trump is the second guess.
That was also my guess.
And that leaves five now that might be
okay.
Correct.
It's the thrill of the hunt. I wanted to give it to your producer there, but...
I wanted that to come out because that was the surprise and the big surprise in the whole thing.
That is a surprise.
Yep.
So I am very glad you called. I appreciate it. You have a great weekend.
Yeah, and I know y'all missed me. I know you did.
Of course we did.
Always.
Later.
Take care. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Hey, not much. Just enjoy you make my Saturday morning.
Well, thank you.
Every Saturday.
Appreciate it.
You know, I had a professor in college back in the 70s when the stock market was a mess. And he was my finance professor. And on test day, he'd give us a test and pass it out. And he'd sit up there with a stack of Wall Street journals and go through them like in about 2 minutes each paper. And we asked him, we said, you know, how do you make money in this market? He said, no matter how the market is or whatever's going around in the world, there's always a way to make money. You just have to find it.
A brilliant man.
You know, you guys were talking about that, and that just sparked me. I'm like, I got to call them because they're right on with it. So, but I want to take a guess. I'm going to say Clinton.
That is guess number three. That leaves four potential right answers.
Oh my goodness!
Okay. Now let's see.
Because I thought after the Gingrich thing, and you know, Clinton, did his thing, and you know, financially we took off a little bit. But I thought,
let's give him credit where it's due. He was number two on the list.
Yeah, he did preside over a big expansion in that part of the economy.
Trump was number three.
Well,
so you guys are thinking.
You guys said, manufacturing has done the best in 20 years. So I thought, let me count back the presidents. Let's see.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay.
Good thinking. Almost correct. But
okay.
No prize.
Thanks for the call, Bob.
Right. Take care.
Yep.
Good morning, Al.
Okay. I'm going to take a wild guess. I'm going to say Carter.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good job.
We have a winner.
I was shocked to hear that. After I guess Trump.
Too.
So,
you know, I pride myself on trying to come up with things that are surprising. I found this very surprising. I also like to prove somehow that there's a point in this. I can't see a point in this.
Right.
I'm stymied this time. I can't begin to tell you.
Yeah.
But you're right.
It's really weird. Yeah. Nobody really would think about it that way.
Yeah.
That's true.
But you kind of got the point that it had to be something a little unusual because the obvious answers were taken. Actually, let's run down the rest of the list. It was Carter, Clinton, Trump, followed by Obama, Reagan, Bush 41, and Bush 43 in that order.
Yeah.
And that's very surprising to me.
Yeah,
well, all right, I'm going to put you on hold, and Alan will get your address, and we'll send you a little something. How are we fixed? Did we get some new ones in?
We're still waiting on some new ones, so I'll get it out to you as soon as we get it.
Yeah, there might be a little delay getting this. There might be a couple in arrears too, a few people are listening. We don't forget about you. So.
Right. Okay.
All right. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Who'd have thought?
Yeah, that's shocking.
Now, I guess you got to look back in history and see what was going on right before that. And it was Nixon resigning and Ford having kind of a missed opportunity. I think he did the right thing when he pardoned Nixon, but the world didn't. So then we had the transition over where this know-nothing guy from Nowheresville got elected. And I guess it was the fact that it was over probably just made people breathe a sigh of relief and go about their business.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I can't think of any other reason.
Yeah, it's a.
Don't have a point.
A strange.
As I said.
No,
I usually do, but I don't.
I can't even really go back and make a case off the top of my head as to why that would have happened. But
yeah. Well, it wasn't because of the internet.
No.
But speaking of the internet, there is this thing that's been very controversial for several weeks now. It's called TikTok, and I know almost nothing about it, but Adam knows quite a bit about it.
Well, I know a little bit about it. I know that it's very
compared
popular
to me,
with 9-year-old girls. Because
I
happen to have one living in my house, and we don't allow her on it, but her friends are all on it.
Well, if you decide that you're going to listen to other people to get financial advice, I would strongly suggest you use this show instead of TikTok. But in case you're wondering what's going on around TikTok,
now,
Adam has.
There actually are some reputable financial planners on TikTok. I just saw the other day that Barry Ritholtz, he's one of the more famous CFPs. He's on there. There's a few others. So it's not like there isn't quality advice available on TikTok, but there's also really bad advice available on TikTok.
And
Vox was good enough to compile a list of the top 10 things, and I felt like it was written for this radio show because it's actually pretty funny.
Good.
So we're just going to run down the 10 real quick, just to find out the different types of things that you shouldn't listen to when you're on TikTok. One is that there's a realtor going around saying that if you start an S-Corp, you don't have to pay any taxes because you can just expense everything you do as a business expense, including vacations, and therefore all your income is then offset by these expenses, and you don't owe anything.
Offered by Wesley Snipes School of Finance.
Right, and where is he right now?
I don't know if he's out of jail yet or not. He had a pretty long sentence.
So there's a woman that also is alleging that the Federal Reserve has a secret $1 million bank account for every American citizen. This one's actually been going around for a long time. And
where's
now,
my key?
Now it's it's shocking that we haven't actually gotten to go and open them.
Really?
But yeah, this is not true. It's never been true. This has gone around as an email. This has gone. If you go to Snopes or any of the other websites that do these kind of things, you'll see that it's made its rounds since probably the 90s. If they had that, why would they just keep it locked away and not?
And speaking
it doesn't make any sense.
Speaking of a million here and there. Even the new lottery winners, there have been two this past week for 700 and something.
Oh, it's the one last night in Michigan.
They can't put out $1 million per person in America. And neither can what Mike Bloomberg spent on the election give every American $1 million. So all those rumors are false.
Yeah, that's just not true.
And they wouldn't anyway.
The next one is you can become a millionaire if you open an MPI account. And you may be asking, what is an MPI account?
What is an MPI account?
That's a good question.
I thought so.
Curtis Ray is a personal finance entrepreneur with 1.2 million followers on TikTok.
Okay.
And his videos claim to show viewers how to make millions of dollars using compound interest, which that is a thing that can happen.
How many decades or millennia do you have to live?
Actually, what you have to do first is you have to open an MPI account with his company, MyMPI.
Oh.
So it turns out that Curtis is really selling a hybrid investment insurance product.
Shocking.
Yeah. And it is, guess who makes the most money if you do this? My guess would be Curtis Ray.
I can't think of another name.
Nope. That's because that would be the right answer.
Okay.
There's all an MPI account is basically, it sounds like universal life or whole life insurance.
Fully funded.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever you want to call
it. All those schemes are exactly the same down under.
Number four, you can pay less on hotels if you buy their points. False. You typically pay more for the hotel if you buy their points. So don't do that. The claim, number five, just buy Tesla calls. That's all you need to do. A TikToker documents himself buying $15,000 worth of Tesla calls and loses thousands in a few minutes, but a few hours later ends up making $7,000.
Yeah.
Well,
because Tesla always goes up.
Right. I mean, and if you're trading in options, there's little risk, right? You don't even own
exactly.
The stock.
Exactly.
Okay, your downside there is losing it all, so don't do that, unless you know what you're doing.
What number was that?
That was number 6, I believe.
Got a few seconds if you want to throw another one in.
Okay. This is number 6. Just short the stock market. There is another viral TikTok of a hedge fund billionaire showing how to short the stock market. And you too can do this, and it's just so easy. It's another thing to really, really avoid if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Usually when the word short is involved in some kind of an investment scheme, what you're going to be short on is money.
Yeah, no doubt.
Eventually. It's not a real solid plan. All right, we got a few more after the break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 904-662-9794 and let Troy do it. Troy spent a lot of time doing it in my yard last week or so, and you ought to see it. Pretty nice stuff. All right, dumb things from TikTok. We've been moving right along, and a lot of these things I told Adam during the break remind me of an old saying, a millionaire maker is a guy who will take your $10 million and after a while give you back one. Mm. And I think some of these would do that really well.
Number 7, just copy the investments of rich people. So there's a TikToker out there that says...
You mean start adding zeros?
I wish it was that easy. There's a TikToker out there that says that you can find out what rich people invest in, which you can because a lot of people have to disclose these things if they work in certain jobs. So that you can do that. You can buy what they buy. The problem is rich people are rich and they don't... Their risk tolerance is therefore much, much higher than yours because if they lose $1 million, it does not really even register. Right. And if you lose that same amount of money, you're probably going to regret it. So the fact that a rich person owns a bunch of a single stock does not make it appropriate for you to do the same. So please do not do this. You need to have a different investment strategy than someone that has $100 million.
Yes, it's called asset allocation, risk return. All those things. Things you talk about if you come and see us at the office, actually.
Number 8, pay as little on your down payment and mortgage as possible. Now, this is not bad advice for some people. This is bad advice for everybody.
A lot of people.
Right. But it is not always a bad thing to do. There are situations where that makes a lot of sense. The problem is when you get on TikTok and tell everybody to do that, you are probably telling people that shouldn't do that something to do that they shouldn't do. So it just don't listen to that just because it works for someone else. That doesn't make it appropriate for you.
Well, leverage is a wonderful thing. I've got how many million old sayings? One of them is, how much gold can you buy for $1,000? $10,000 or $1,000 worth of gold, right? But how much real estate can you buy for $1,000? Maybe $10,000 or $20,000 worth because you use financial leverage. You just borrow the rest. That is not to say it's a good idea. And especially in real estate, when you're saying minimize the down payment, you're throwing a lot of people into the position where they're going to have to pay the extra mortgage insurance.
Yeah.
PMI, which is very expensive relative to your payment.
And it's wasted money. You're paying to insure the bank.
You're not insuring you.
No, you're making sure that someone else gets their money back. So
this is just really, really bad advice, which also shows you generalizing advice is something you have to be very careful of. That's why we always have disclaimers and so on. And if you really want personalized information, you have to find somebody you like and go spend some serious time face-to-face in the office or at least
definitely
on the phone.
Number 9, the converse of that is actually you should pay more on your mortgage. And now that, again, is not bad advice for some people. For some people, that's terrible advice. So the paying twice a month or things like that, there are legitimate ways to do that, but you need to do it as part of your bigger picture financial plan, not everyone should go out and try and pay down their mortgage right away. It doesn't make sense for everybody.
It has to be part of your goals. Your goals should be written and understood by everybody. If you're one of those people, there's estimated to be between 5 and 10% of people who can't live as long as their house has a mortgage on it, then your primary goal is accelerate paying down and paying off your mortgage. But if you're not one of those, then why would you do that? Once you give your extra $100 to your mortgage company, it doesn't apply to the payment unless you're doing an interest only type. It applies to the end of your mortgage. In other words, that money is gone.
Yeah,
to you.
It is.
You no longer have access. Oh, well, I'll just open up a HELOC on it. Okay, so now you're going to pull out the HELOC.
Now, and also you've just replaced your mortgage, which is probably at 3%, with a HELOC, which is probably variable. At 6% or whatever. But yeah, it's just there's so much more to this equation than just paying off your mortgage.
Exactly.
And then also, if you do have a 3% mortgage and you don't have a lot of savings or retirement savings, you can make much more than that in the stock market today, or at least in the last year.
If you can't beat these interest rates, something's wrong.
Yeah, your economic cost of paying off your mortgage was actually the 17% you could have made in the stock market last year. So, again, lots of different ways to look at this, not suitable for everybody. And then number 10, the claim, invest in compound interest as early as possible. So much wrong with this. Okay, first of all, you don't invest in compound interest. That's not a financial product.
That is true.
The former pro skater turned investment firm co-founder Mickey Taylor says that 18-year-olds should invest $300 each month in the stock market for 8 years, and by the time they retire, it'll be worth $1.8 million. That's actually pretty good advice. If every 18-year-old did that,
but that it's not compound interest. The market doesn't pay you compound interest.
No, that's something completely different. But that's pretty good advice. If you can invest $300 a month, you probably should. That applies to almost everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you should also look at upping that over time. So it's just funny the way that they word it. It's actually, I think what they're trying to say is good advice, but they're just not doing it right.
Yeah, you can do things like start early.
Yeah.
And when the market goes down, try to double up on your investment.
Buy more. Yeah, those kind of things apply to just about everybody.
Mm-hmm. It's dollars saved today and tomorrow that will make you wealthy and comfortable someday.
Mm-hmm.
The rule's pretty simple, really.
People ask us a lot, well, how much should I put away? And I don't like to answer that question.
I don't either.
I like to answer it with, I can tell you a bare minimum of what you should put away, but try and do more than that.
Yep.
I don't think there's too much to save. You can't, I don't know anyone who's ever gone into retirement saying, man, I saved too much money.
Yep. I can't imagine. I'm sure there's somebody somewhere, but not anybody we've met. But one of the first questions that'll come out if you come in to see us, we're likely to ask you point blank, how much money do you think you're going to need at whatever age you choose to retire? And if that number isn't really big, then we'll tie it onto the chair and talk to you for an hour.
We had that conversation yesterday.
We did have that conversation yesterday. And it seems impossible. We always tell young people, depending on their age, we might shoot out a number like $4 million. That's the bad news. You are going to need $4 million. Here's the good news. You'll get there.
Yeah, it's not as hard as...
You just follow common sense things at your age, you'll get there.
It's not as hard as it sounds.
No, it really isn't. All right, everybody over, if you were born after June 30th, 1949, raise your hand. It ain't over yet for us. I just made that cut. The House Ways and Means Committee Chairman, Richard Neal, Democrat of Massachusetts, has reintroduced the proposal to raise the required minimum distribution age from its current, recently raised, 72, up to 75. Now, I thought that died on the vine at the end of last year.
So
it was
I.
a proposal in front of Congress. I've read many times it had a fair chance of passage. But then again, I didn't factor into some other things that happened, and like Congress just sort of rolling over and playing dead. Anyway, this guy... He's a Democrat, and they're all in control, so his power is going up. He's chairman of Ways and Means, and for those of you who understand what Ways and Means committees are, they're the people who set tax policy. Well, that means he's even more powerful now, and he's behind this. And if he gets this done, I might have to send him an email with an attaboy in it. For those of us at the right age.
It's kind of shocking that it's being reintroduced, because
it is
the only... or non-tax.
It's user friendly.
It's not increasing revenue, which
no.
is every other proposal right now is to increase revenue.
Yeah, and
you can read as increased taxes.
The good news, bad news. is it only applies to about 20% of people in that age group. The other 80 have to live by their economic circumstances. They have to use their RMDs to
right.
get by day to day. But the 20% or so of people who don't would love nothing better than to get a three-year reprieve. Now, it doesn't mean you can't take money anytime you want to. You can take it. If you're over 59 and a half, you won't be charged the extra 10%. But not having to take it and giving that money all those extra years to accrue, and perhaps also setting up some people for more Roth conversions along the way,
mm-hmm.
which would be eaten up in the normal course of business tax-wise. This is a good thing. I support him. And no matter how much I disagree with anybody's politics, if they come up with a good reason, I will thank them very much. Please get it passed. It needs some support from the right side of the aisle in order to get it done. And I sure hope there are some people up there who are paying attention to this. So if you get a chance to talk to your congressman or senator ever, just promote it on behalf of everybody in your parents' age group, I guess. Because it applies to everybody going forward, too. All right, we got to get out of here, unfortunately. It all goes too fast. We'll be back same time next week. Count on us and be here. This is the Banway Financial Hour.